It's great to have Zay Ustinov and Raquel Wiedemannot. The Dairy Store, if you have an icon on campus, the Dairy Store would really fit into that mode because everybody knows where it is.
Mm-hmm. I do. I think it's Beaumont, Sparty, and the Dairy Store are the three iconic stops on campus.
Yeah. So the Dairy Store has a retail part, and then the students who run it are really terrific. But tell me what it takes to have a Dairy Store on campus.
The Dairy Store is only a part of the dairy programs. Actually, we have two stores and a trailer, but our dairy foods complex consists of our dairy plant, where we manufacture the products that we sell in the store, where the cheese and the ice cream is made. But more importantly, the Dairy Foods Complex is a teaching, research, and outreach facility. We train students in the dairy plant. We hire students. They work in the plant to make the products. We have full-time staff there, but then mostly it's students that work there in the plant as well as in the store. So we teach classes and undergrad students and grad students do research. And we also serve the industry. We put on training workshops for the industry. And also we have some things for the public as well. We have a very popular artisanal cheese workshop that even some of the faculty have come to take to learn about cheese making. It's very popular. It sells out every time we offer it. So those are some of our activities.
I really see the Dairy Store, if you think about it, as the front for cutting-edge knowledge that's applied in a variety of ways. And that in order, and the essence of sort of a land grant in terms of this clear translation to hands-on that you need to be able to do to learn.
Absolutely.
And you're able to do and learn in order to think about the next big questions for research, for the industry, for commodity groups and whatever. And the Dairy Store really symbolizes the front door of all of that, as you've said. What's changed over time?
Technology definitely has changed. Expectations the industry has in terms of the students that they hire, students that graduate, they are, at least in the food industry, they like students that have internships and have hands-on experience. And the dairy plant provides for opportunities to students to have hands-on experience in a manufacturing food processing setting.
So when I walk out of the Dairy Store with my D'Antonio double fudge fake or whatever ice cream I would come out with, what are some things behind the scenes that you think the individual walking out with ice cream should know, would like to know, that you know, where does it come from? I think one of the assumptions I make is there's a cow behind the Anthony Hall and they're producing the milk and producing the dairy products for the ice cream. What would you like the person with the ice cream walking out to know?
What's the supply chain?
Yeah, so we've got two different herds of cattle, or cows, excuse me, on one of which is on campus and the other is down at the Kellogg Biological Station. So our ice cream we use from the campus here on, or the cows here on campus, which is 2.6 miles from our dairy plant. So we go down early in the morning. I know the cows are milked at, I believe it's 2 a.m. and 3 p.m. or vice versa. And we go down early and get the milk and bring it back, and it's pasteurized and turned into various ice cream flavors.
That milk goes to MMPA, though. We purchase the milk and the cream from MMPA.
It's Michigan Milk Producers Association.
Yes.
For those of you in the urban areas who don't know the vocabulary of agriculture.
Right.
But it comes from MSU cows. Processed by the milk producers.
That's correct. So we get the MSU milk, but it comes to us through Michigan Milk Producers Association, and then it's processed into our ice cream, and we have 24 flavors of ice cream in the store, so those are all made there in the plant, and then we also make the cheese. We have 11 varieties of cheese. Then the other milk we get is from Kellogg Biological Station, and that's seasonal. That milk, the animals go out on pasture, so it's pasture milk, and we make a white cheddar from that milk. That's very delicious and quite popular, but unfortunately it's in limited supply because the milk is seasonal.
I'm going to get to the cheese in a minute because I know it's award-winning, but I'm going to focus on ice cream for a little bit longer.
You can tell his priorities because he also likes – is a, we've got a whole
– Right, sesquicentennial. Everyone knows to go to Anthony Hall for ice cream, but you've added a new addition to be able to take the product to locations such as Spartan Stadium on football games, Welcome Week, where students are maybe for large gatherings. How has that impacted your operation?
It has definitely helped – you know, we have the same amount of sales overall, but it reduces the amount of time that customers are having to wait in line. They realize that we now have the trailer wherever it may be on campus, that they don't have to wait in line at Anthony Hall, even though that's our main hub. That's where the observation deck is. That's where, you know, it's all made. But if they're looking for something quick, get back on the road wherever they may be going, they can go to our trailer or our location up in the Union.
And it may introduce the product to someone that doesn't know where Anthony Hall is at
right,
that point
yeah.
in time. Have you considered at all the opportunities that this great state has with a variety of different activities, Southeast Michigan, Northern Michigan, of taking the truck on the road and having some fun road trips and taking MSU Dairy to other sites?
Yes, that's something we're learning with the dairy trailer. It's recently new for us.
Right.
Our state is abundant in different types of fairs, whether mm-hmm. it's a county fair or cherry festivals, there's potato festivals, you know, yeah. any sort of vegetation. We've got
Spartans
a lot of
tend
it.
To gather where good things
yes.
are happening.
Oh, yeah.
So it's yeah.
yeah, it's something we look to in the future.
Yeah. Let's turn to the cheese products a little bit because it is an award-winning proposition.
If I can stay with the ice cream.
Okay, I'm sorry. You can see where her priorities are, too.
No, one of the questions I often get is if you think about I'll pick another brand of ice cream, Moomers, that started out very small and then is now and has an operation sort of similar to ours, which you would go out to the farm and you would – their store was next to the cows and you could see the cows. And here, if you want, you can go out and look at the cows and then drive back to get your ice cream. So mm-hmm. it's a very similar concept. But they've sort of expanded into more retail sales and beyond the – their store locations. So can I ever get MSU ice cream in a retail store that's not on the campus? Or is the volume, you know, part of it is it's because it's a learning environment.
Mm-hmm, right.
The volume, we're not a mass producing.
Yeah, so there are a few stores that carry our ice cream. There is
I'm just doing a pitch for you. So
yeah, there's the Daily Spoon, I believe, Daily Scoop that sells our ice cream, and there's also a place in Holt Sweet Sensations sells our ice cream. So we do have a few locations off campus. Folks come buy our large tubs, and then they're a dip shop. They sell our ice cream. It's not really wide, but there are a few locations. And there is a place also downtown near the Capitol, one of the government buildings also has our ice cream.
But there is a sort of a, because this is a teaching and learning
That's correct.
Operation and not a business sort of in the middle of campus, there are really considerations that you have to think about in terms of student engagement, the way in which the learning is tied to this, because it's not simply about making more and more ice cream.
That's correct. So we are our mission is different. Our mission is teaching, research, and outreach. We're not a commercial operation in the sense of Moomers or Hudsonville, some of the other ice cream
But you consult with them.
Yes, we do. We we interact with them, and they you know interact with us. We talk about quality assurance, quality control, but it's always in terms of as a learning experience for our students. And also part of our job is to serve the industry as well, to provide our expertise to the industry in terms of food safety and other issues that they may encounter when they're running mm-hmm. their operations.
Mm-hmm. What areas on campus? I think you were talking about an ice cream social taking place. Is there a lot of outreach with the ice cream, with various activities that are taking place mm-hmm. on
yeah.
campus?
So we've got our, you know, our two locations as well as a trailer. We also have an ice cream cart that is available for rent, and a lot of departments throughout the summer rent out our cart and they fill it with our ice cream and they have little gatherings. It's really nice to see all the different departments that have done that through this summer even.
Yeah. How did you get into this?
I was a student at Michigan State, so okay. I graduated about a year and a half ago, and prior to, or while I was a student, I was also working in the dairy store. So okay. the opportunity opened up, and I had the degree, and I had background at the dairy store, and
sure.
it all kind of just fell into place.
Yeah. Now we can go to cheese.
Now we can go to cheese?
We can go to cheese now.
Tell us about the cheese product and some of the awards that you've won, because they're substantial.
We make about 11 different kinds of cheese. Probably our two best cheeses, we have a Gouda that's excellent. It's been nationally recognized. It's gotten second place at the American Cheese Society's competition. It's been awarded second place. So that cheese is delicious. And the other, well, all of our cheeses are delicious, but that one is exceptionally very good. And then, as I mentioned, we have a white cheddar that we make with pasture milk we get from Kellogg Biological Station, and it's a seasonal product. It's also, it's unique, and it's very good. It sells out really fast.
When you talk about the students, how many students would be involved in the whole process? If you're talking about storefront, you go through the whole chain, I guess, from the beginning to the end.
So we employ about 40 to 50 students, depending on the time. Mm-hmm. There is a number of them, about 20, 30 in the store, and the rest of them are in the plant. We do have a full-time staff in the plant sure. as well, but then the rest of it are student employees. So it's, you know, we have to work around their class schedule, of course. The numbers tend to fluctuate depending on the semester as well.
So I'm assuming there's a predominant ag students, but are there also students from other curriculums that would come in? And
we employ students pretty much from all over campus.
Board,
yeah, in the store we get different majors.
We've
in the plant.
Yeah.
Of course, we get a lot of our food science students that are majoring in food science, and
sure.
then the plant provides a hands-on experience for them. We employ animal science students, packaging students, biosystems engineering students. So, it's quite a variety.
And also there are students out with the cows.
Out with the cows, right.
Out with the cows.
Right at the beginning.
At the very beginning, there are students working out with the cows, because there are also actually pre-vet students out
pre-vet,
there,
yeah.
As well as animal science and other students who
so
are
it's
out.
Far-reaching.
It's really is an interesting collection of people. The artisan cheese industry in Michigan is flourishing.
Why? That's correct.
And if we think back 10 years ago even, it was not as prominent as it is today. One of the, I think, the contributions of the department of the product center with Chris Peterson and folks was to get a little space in Myers eons ago for Michigan artisan cheese to be placed, because it was a co-op, because we couldn't, no single producer could produce enough cheese to meet, but the co-op did, and now it's taking off, and I see that growing. So what role does the department have in really having to support that industry, and both in research that you're doing now, as well as just advice?
Yeah, so we do, provide expertise in the cheese making area. There are a number of safety issues clearly involved with regards to manufacturing artisanal cheeses. These are handcrafted cheeses, so some folks are just basically starting from scratch. They don't even really know what equipment they need. Some are definitely much more advanced. So we provide expertise as to where expertise is needed. But we've done anything from food safety all the way to helping them make decisions in terms of equipment, selection of types of cheeses they can make. We have I don't teach the workshop. My colleague John Partridge teaches the artisanal cheese workshop, and there's a lot of interest in artisanal cheeses. And then the other thing, maybe of course, is important, and we've helped out with milk from different sources, whether it's cow's milk or goat's milk, is going to impact cheese properties. And I don't think people quite realize that initially, especially when you're starting out. You can't really apply cow's milk cheese manufacturing procedures to goat's milk, because goat milk composition
or
buffalo milk is quite different.
Yeah.
So those are the types of things. Food safety, of course, is a big one.
There's also, I think, the partnership you have with Animal Science.
That's correct.
That is really important, because one of for international companies, who want to go international, one of the animal science questions was that depending on what the cow eats, the cheese comes out very differently.
That is correct. That's correct.
And so there's an interesting supply chain that they pick up in the cheese making that has to back into not just the safety of the process, but the type of ingredient, okay, the basic ingredient. Depending on the white cheese is pasture. It's different than what we feed in grain feed. How the milk source, the goat, is treated makes a difference. And those are all now, I think, the nuances of this specialized cheese tasting industry.
That's correct. So what the animal eats makes a big difference on the quality of the product. And I keep coming back to our pasture milk cheese.
Right.
Is quite different than a regular cheddar, because these animals have been on pasture, so the milk composition is somewhat different. And then that makes for quite a different cheese than our regular cheddar, where the animals are on grain or mixed rations. So, yeah.
Now, would I know this in the packaging? If I were to look at a packaging, a piece of cheese in a counter, a farmer's market, I can ask the question.
Yes,
about,
that's correct.
About organic, you know, food source. if I'm a cheese connoisseur,
right,
to know what I'm buying. Is it clear in the packaging to people that these nuances are there?
They will put that on the label. I think we label our cheese as pasture fed animals. We have some language that indicates.
Yes.
And I think most manufacturers, just to differentiate their products, they'll indicate on the packaging the source of the milk, grass-fed or pasture-fed. Yeah.
So for people who then want to sample and think about cheese, not just flavors of ice cream, because they're labeled.
I'm going to get back to that.
I know you are. They should be looking at those kinds of things as they taste and try cheese to decide what types they like, and or to try different kinds of cheeses that might have the same label called cheddar.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
And even in our store, we try to have samples out daily of 5 different types of cheeses. So if you're coming into our store to buy cheese, we've got different samples out so you can taste them before you're buying them.
To wrap this up, yeah. I want to get back to ice cream.
Okay, go. I knew you would. So I'm going to give you the last
20 plus different flavors, right? And do you rotate different flavors in and out of the mix at times?
Yes. Yeah, so we've got 22 flavors that are out at all times, and then we've got 2 spots in our dip cabinets that are rotational. So,
okay,
you know, you've got peppermint stick come winter time. We've got pina colada for summertime. We've got pumpkin, spiced pumpkin for the fall, chocolate raspberry for Valentine's Day.
So how many recommendations do you get from people of, you should have this?
Several. Sometimes they're really good ideas, and they're things that I wish that we could do, or maybe even in the future. I've taken down names and flavors that people have come up with, so that way in the future, if we are ready to create a new flavor that we've got some ideas to base those off of.
But because we're a small operation and MSU ice cream is made by MSU people.
Right.
And that's another thing. We're not outsourcing to someone else to make MSU ice cream. Then these flavors are about the limit we have for capacity.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you have to think, too, that it's not only the capacity of the gallons or 3-gallon tubs of ice cream sitting in our freezer, but it's every flavor of ice cream takes different ingredients. And those ingredients aren't just something you can buy. You know, you don't just buy the quantity of whatever ingredient for that batch. We buy in large quantities, so then those ingredients also take up
space.
So,
Hollis, do you have a suggestion for an ice cream?
Well, I was going to ask what the craziest suggestion was. Okay. What is there something out there that just was like, wow, that's bizarre?
Peanut butter and jelly ice cream is something that people are always asking for.
Yeah.
Anything. People have asked for, like, a lime sherbet with Sour Patch Kids in it, which... Yeah. Refreshing in the summertime, I guess.
Yeah. I think that's neat that there's that opportunity to have some input, to think about it, to deliver. The D'Antonio was a good one. The Sesquicentennial is probably the...
Was the one that was supposed to go away and hasn't.
And hasn't.
It hasn't.
Yeah.
It's been quite popular. Yeah. That's become our signature ice cream, actually. Signature flavor.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I've enjoyed it since the 1980s, and we just continue to do great, great things over there. And thanks for... taking us all over campus with this short conversation. Yeah. Much appreciated.
Thank you for having us.
This is great faculty work, and again, I want to emphasize that this is cutting-edge work. It doesn't look that way because the flavors of ice cream look the same every day, but the food safety, the quality assurance, all those are really leading edge, not just there as a minimum, but leading edge, and that's really a tribute to our faculty.
Great work to you both. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Yeah.